Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well. Jeff is away, so he is not making announcements today. We want to welcome all of you. We also want to make a note there that the pew pads are in their usual place at the end of the pew. And if you don't mind, if you would, sign that, pass it down. And when it gets to the end, pass it back down, tear that sheet out, and place it on top. The ushers will come by and pick that up. So that is a good way to know that you've been with us. If you're a guest with us, if you don't mind signing the pew pad as well, we will not harass you, or we just want to know that you're here with us, and certainly won't do anything we can to help you in your journey. So if you don't mind signing that information as well. This Friday, we have a special event. It is the 4th of July, obviously, but we are also going to be doing some things with Habitat, and I want to ask Roger if he would to fill us in on the details. You ready, buddy? Tricked you. I did it early, didn't I?
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
That sounds pretty good. Need to fill you in real quick. The walls of our house go off on the 4th of July. We really need your help. Sign up sheets are out there. We really need your help. We need you to come. We need about 40 people, and I think we've got 13 or 14 signed up. That's a lot of work for those people, but we need your help. Did I say that again? We need your help. If you want to have lunch, you need to sign up.
If you have a doubt about what Roger needed, I could probably sum it up in one word. It's help. We need your help. So there's also more details there in your upcoming events. Wednesday night, there's a note there about our picnic at the park. Great start last week. A great time of fellowship. So there's, again, information about that under upcoming events, as well as under opportunities for the week. I invite you to read those. Keep up with what's going on. It's summertime, so it's pretty busy, but certainly there's a lot going on, and I invite you to keep up to date on that. And I think, I have a suspicion that Roger needs to ask for your help.
I forgot to tell you, I've got a check here to deliver to Habitat this week. We're almost at our goal. We need $1,500 to $2,000 more to meet our goal, but I'm going to take this check because.
Very good, very good. All right, those that are guests with us this morning, we're glad that you're here with us. Our ushers are going to come down the aisle, or they're already here. They're going to return up the aisle, and as they do that, if you're a guest with us, just slip up your hand, just high enough they can see where you are or catch their eye. We don't mean to embarrass you. We're just glad that you're here with us. We want to give you some information about College Park and the ministries, and there's a copy of our highlights in there that'll give you calendar and other things that are going on here. So members, be sure and notice where guests are around you, and be sure and welcome them this morning. I believe that's all the announcements we have, and we want to pause for just a moment and talk about usually on this Sunday, which is the Sunday before the 4th of July, before Independence Day, we are doing a mission group commissioning. If you think about the history of the church, usually we're getting ready to leave to go somewhere to build something. On this particular Sunday, so we typically have had a combined service and we've done a mission team commissioning. Well, we're already on mission. I mean, we've been at this for 3 or 4 weeks now, and so that is not the kind of the focus of this service today. So we wanted to pause for just a moment and to give thanks. To give thanks for the country that we live in because of the freedoms that we enjoy. But we also want to put it in perspective, because with freedom also comes a great responsibility. See, we like to embrace the privilege of freedom, but sometimes we don't fully embrace the responsibility that comes with freedom. And we have certainly freedoms as Americans. We really do. We enjoy freedoms that a lot of other people around the world will not be able to enjoy today. For example, just meeting together like this. We take it for granted, but it's a freedom that we enjoy as Americans, and I'm truly thankful for it. But the larger picture of it is the freedom that we have in Christ to have a personal relationship with Him, and that is what I'm most thankful for. But before we go any further in the service, we want to have an opportunity. I'm going to have a prayer for our nation, our leaders, those who are a part of the decision-making, but also for us as believers. You see, we have a responsibility to our community to be a lighthouse, to cast the light of freedom in Christ into this community. And that's a challenge for us. That's our responsibility. And following that, we'll have a heritage medley, which I thank you that you'll enjoy. But let's pause for just a moment and give thanks and also challenge ourselves in terms of our responsibility and our personal freedoms. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Father, we come to you as your children, children that you have created, children that you have placed in this country. And Father, that's nothing that we earned or deserve in and of ourselves. It is a privilege that you've granted to us. Father, we have already said we understand that there's also a responsibility that comes with being an American, and not in a political sense, but certainly in a spiritual sense. Father, to let people know that the freedoms that we enjoy, although they are tremendous and although they are a gift from you, the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans is nothing compared to the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. So help us to remember. Help us to remember those who have given their lives, those that fight continually every day to preserve the freedoms that we have as a country. But Father, help us also to remember that Jesus Christ died, was resurrected, sits at your right hand to remind us of the freedom that we have in life in Christ. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you've blessed us with, both personally and as a country. Father, we pray that as we acknowledge the freedom that you've given us, Father, that we would understand, again, all the responsibility that is a part of that. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty.
Thank our choir for leading us so beautifully in this time of celebration. Thank you. You'll hear now from Psalm 89, 1 through 4, 15 through 18.
Your love, God, is my song, and I'll sing it. I'm forever telling everyone how faithful you are. I'll never quit telling the story of your love, how you built the cosmos and guaranteed everything in it. Your love has been our life's foundation. Your fidelity has been the roof over our world.
Blessed are the people who know the passwords of praise, who shout on parade in the bright presence of God. Delighted, they dance all day long. They know who you are and what you do. They can't keep it quiet. Your vibrant beauty has gotten inside of us. You've been so good to us. We're walking on air. All we are and all we have, we owe to God. Holy God of Israel, our blessed King.
Blessed be your name. Lord, we join the heavens in singing it this morning. Lord, we join with all of your creation in singing your worth and your glory. Lord, we know that you are already present in this place this morning. But Lord, we invite not just your presence, Lord, but your voice. Lord, even now, tune our hearts to hear what you might say through us. Through the spoken word, Lord, through music, Lord, through your scripture. Lord, inhabit our worship this morning. And when we leave this place, let us leave changed because we've been in your presence. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Kids, come join me down front, please. Here comes the crisscross applesauce. How are y'all this morning? Are you doing good? Good. That doesn't sound very good. All right. I got a silly question for y'all. What do you have on your feet?
Shoes.
You have on shoes?
Okay. I have my
you have on your Crocs? Kinds of different shoes. Well, I got a couple of different shoes myself, and I'm going to ask, what do we use these for? Do you know what these are?
Walking in the winter snow.
Exactly. What about these? running through a basketball court. I actually use these for lacrosse because I'm not very good at basketball, but I mean, yeah. What about these? Going to the pool, walking on the beach. Apparently, I'm really good with mics. What about these? Does anybody know what these are for? These are actually what I wear when I go horseback riding. They're boots to wear for horseback riding. Okay, what do shoes do for you? They protect your feet. So would it be very smart to wear these while, like, running down the basketball court? No, because it could get stepped on. You'll rip the shoe. I've broken a lot of flip-flops actually doing that. So it's not a good idea. You know what else protects us in life? God. God protects us through everything. And you know what Pastor Raymond's going to talk about later? He's going to talk that it may not be easy going through this walk, but as long as we have faith, God is always with us. So can y'all pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for giving us this great opportunity to come and learn more about you and just worship you and your great name. Please let us know that even though the road is bumpy and the path may not be what we want, you are always beside us and you are always there helping us through everything. We love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Y'all can go back to your seats now.
We sing a nice upbeat song like that, it's hard not to just dance and giddy up all the way down here. And in one sense, that is a good thing and a good way to approach this time as we are coming to pray and give our thanks to God for all that we have. So let us join together and pray. Father God, we come into your presence, into your house today to worship you and to give you praise. We all do come today from different places in our own journeys within our own lives. But no matter where we come from or what we are enduring, no matter how hard or how easy things may seem to be. We come with the promise of knowing that you are with us. Even though there is no promise of good times and fortune to those who follow you, we who do choose to follow you know that everything we have comes from you and your blessings upon us. So it is with humble hearts, gracious attitudes, that we give back to you these gifts, these tithes, these offerings. Thank you for your love, for your compassion, for your faithfulness to us. For it is in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Chica. Not bad. I need to form a traveling singing group with your family. That's can Jamie sing? Okay, all right. Jamie, I hope you're not back there, brother, to have to see that. Mm, yeah. Okay. Have you ever been driving, maybe listening to the radio, listening to press on the radio or something? Have you ever been driving on a country road? You know how they do country roads a lot of times? They say they pave them, but where I grew up, you know what that a lot of that pavement looks like? They come in and they dump this thick, nasty tar on the road, and then they come behind it with a couple loads of gravel. The thought being, eventually at some point, if it gets hot enough, that gravel will work its way down into the tar. You've driven on the... I'm not getting a lot... Okay, some of you have. All right, well, the first couple of days, it can be pretty rough. You just don't follow people very closely because you got all this loose gravel that's just flying everywhere. And that's what they say paving roads is like. It's particularly up in the mountains they like to do this, okay? And so you're driving along on this road, and it's just, I mean, it's doing this number with you, and you see a sign, and it says, rough road ahead, and you're going, how can it get worse? How can it possibly get worse? And then it does. It goes from that nasty stuff to just dirt and potholes. And too late, you realize that you have not slowed down sufficiently, and you hit a pothole that's big enough to put a small Volkswagen in. And the next thing you know, cha-ching, you're doing front-end alignment, or as they do now, all-wheel alignment, and they're getting your money for that. Or to give you a more contemporary example, perhaps you're leaving a wedding on a Saturday night, and you're driving past Tanglewood, and it's dusk, and you look over, and there's a lovely deer on the side of the road. And as your eyes turn back to the middle of the road, you've managed to miss the deer, but you hit a pig. That's not a hypothetical situation, Kent. That happened to some poor fella last night. We saw the deer. We got by right after it happened. We saw the deer that he had managed to miss, but he had hit a pig. Can you imagine that story to your insurance agent? Well, where were you? I was driving by Tanglewood. Well, where was the pig? In the middle of the road. I mean, who would have thought? You know, you're cruising along thinking that you've dodged the hazard. You're driving along thinking you're on a pretty rough road, but you've got it taken care of, and then boom, boom, life hits you. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is predicting slash warning, however you want to say it. He's telling us about the rough roads of life, the road which is filled with the reality of living in a sinful and a less than perfect road, a road that, as Paul said, a world, as Paul said, is groaning toward completion, but there's some days when it groans really loudly, and it reflects back onto our particular life at that time. I want to read this to you, and with apologies, I'm actually going to back up into last week's reading, because at the end of last week's reading were a couple of verses that we didn't really get to. We just didn't have time to go there, and I thought these are such important verses. This week, I kind of cheated. On the lectionary readings, technically it's 40, 41, and 42, but we're going to back up and pick up verse 38 and following. So here's with me. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning of verse 38, Jesus is speaking and he continues and says, "And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Then he continues with some blessings of sort. "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." Jesus is teaching us. He is calling us to the theology of the cross. Anytime you hear that phrase, the theology of the cross, and it's pretty prevalent in theological circles, they say, well, you know, we're preaching the theology of the cross, or we're teaching the theology of the cross. That what they're saying is that through the brokenness of this world, through crosses, life will be redeemed, life will be renewed, life will be worth living. And Jesus is reminding the disciples, and ultimately he's reminding us, that life is not easy. He never said it was going to be easy. That kind of stands juxtaposed to the position that you hear that's so rampant in terms of prosperity theology. In other words, if you're doing what God wants you to do, life is just going to be a cupcake. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. You're not going to have any worries. You're not going to have any troubles. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. That is so far outside the realm of Christian orthodoxy that you can't even hardly get there from here. I don't know where it comes from. Well, I do, but you hate to say it. You see, the fact is that living on this earth can be very difficult. We will have challenges. We will have things that are tough for us. Sometimes I think Satan works extra hard on believers. He works extra hard on those that are gathered in his name, working on, not Satan's behalf, but those that are gathered in Christ's name, those that are working in the community, those that are a part of a living, growing body. Satan works extra hard on those who are doing that. Why should he spend his time with the ones that are already living like they're going? You know, why should he spend his time worrying about them when he can attack those who are trying to live a life that is pleasing to God? And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew how Satan would attack us. He knew that life would be difficult for his followers, especially after he ascended into heaven. And he speaks about the difficult life of a believer over and over and over and over again. You've got this passage later in Matthew chapter 16. He says, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In Mark chapter 8, a parallel passage says, "And he called to him the multitude with his disciples and said to them, 'If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" In Luke chapter 9, in Luke chapter 14, he says the same kind of thing. You know, this theme of a rough road. You know, you think you got things under control, and then boom, next thing you know. You know, it's all through the Gospels. Jesus wants us to know what we're up against. And he's saying that life is not going to be easy if you follow him. He says, don't look for a life of roses. Don't look for the easy way. He says, look for the narrow way. Look for the narrow way. Carry your cross. Be ready to speak against your father, your children, your parents, and also for them. You know, be ready for them. Your father, your children, your parents, maybe to speak against you because of your faith, because of your belief in Christ. Now, Jesus is not saying to go out and pick a fight. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying that. What he's saying is, hopefully this will never happen to you, but if and when it does, if others come against you on my behalf, remember that your most important relationship is with Jesus. As much as you want to honor and respect your parents, love your siblings, your most important relationship, period, is with Jesus. So not only did Jesus tell his disciples about the life that they would live for him, but he demonstrated it. You see, on Good Friday, he demonstrated that kind of life by submitting himself to death on a cross, by experiencing pain, by experiencing humiliation, complete humiliation, to die the death of a common criminal. You see, it wasn't an easy life. That was a rough road for Jesus. So, what makes us think we deserve better? What makes us think we deserve better than that? Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," the reference there obviously to a kind of an Adam type of figure, "so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." Jesus, the new Adam, if you will. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Jesus was the righteous. Jesus was the obedient. Jesus was the sinless Son of God, but at the same time, he had to suffer. Now, for some of us, that comes as a surprise. We'll go, wait a minute. Because we like to equate suffering and brokenness and pain with bad people, don't we? We don't want to equate suffering and brokenness and pain with obedience and sinlessness and righteousness, do we? We want to equate that stuff with sinfulness and disobedience and unrighteousness and unfaithfulness or hidden sin or guilt or lack of faith. Not with faithfulness and obedience. But that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He was faithful. He was obedient. He was sinless. And yet he suffered. And he walked that rough road. So again, I ask, what makes us think we deserve better than Jesus? Grace. Grace greater than our sin, fortunately. Man. Grace. The grace of God. That's the only reason. You see, I really get tired of listening to the slick TV preachers. I mean, I really do. You know? No, don't listen to those cats, man. Listen to Jesus instead. Hear the words that he preaches. He says, life is going to be tough. It is going to be tough. But understand this. You're not going by yourself. It's about walking by his Spirit. He promised before he left, I'm going to send the Spirit. It's going to go with you, walk beside you. And by the way, I'm going to reward you for all of eternity for your faithfulness. For all of eternity. Isn't that enough for you? Is an eternity of joy with the Creator of the universe and in the presence of all those who are faithful who have gone before us, is all of that enough for you to be motivated to walk a faithful path while you're here for these 80 plus or minus short years? I think most of us, at least intellectually, would say, yeah, certainly. Certainly, you know, eternity of blessings, eternity of rewards, for just staying faithful here, certainly, sign me up. And yet, what happens tomorrow morning when we get up to go to work and someone hacks us off on the way, you know? What happens? What happens to our disposition? What happens to all those promises then? What happens to our faithfulness then? Or perhaps after you get to work, someone hacks you off, you know? Or maybe lunchtime, or any time during the course of the day. Or what happens if tomorrow, all of a sudden there's a law passed that it becomes a crime to openly, to publicly profess Jesus Christ as your Lord? What then? What happens if this week there's a law passed that says you cannot assemble yourselves together for corporate worship? That is now a crime punishable by death. What do you do? Are we faithful then? Would all of eternity be adequate motivation to remain faithful then? You want to think so, right? Well, certainly. Our light and momentary troubles are nothing compared to all. I mean, and you want to quote those verses and you say, certainly I would have the faith at that point to do so. We want to think so, but yet every day there are those who fall away. Why? Why do they fall away? I think the answer is related to the song that Mary and Melissa read. It comes straight from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. The Apostle Paul was given some pretty helpful advice. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize that God has for us, that's waiting for us. That should fire us up, but is that enough? for us to remain faithful? Is that enough for us not to whine when life doesn't go our way? You see, sometimes we say, you know, I really want to remain faithful. But life is just so complicated. Pastor, you don't understand. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't understand. I'm not in your shoes, but I can tell you someone who does understand. The God who created you understands completely. I'll tell you something else that God understands. God understands that his son, Jesus, the perfect, sinless son of God, died a horrific death as payment for our sin. Something else. Before he left this earth, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to give us the power to accomplish all things in his name, and to encourage us, to strengthen us for whatever it is that we may endure. In addition to that, the same Spirit would make us one as church so that we can lean on each other in the tough times and that we can work together to continue the work that Christ began while he was here on this planet. Now that sounds like we have all that we need, doesn't it? It does. So what is our hang up? Why do we stumble? I think it's the same issue that Adam and Eve had. Selfishness. When things don't go the way that we think they ought to, when things don't go to please us, we throw up our hands and we ask God, God, why are you punishing me? God, why are you persecuting me? Really? We have no idea what persecution is, do we? We don't have any idea what persecution is in this country. We do not. You know, I've heard people say, Pastor, I just wish God was fair. And I go, oh, no, you don't. No, sir, Dad, you don't want God to be fair by the human definition of fair. You do not, because then whenever you complain to God that you're being persecuted for your faith, he'll send it along to where you'll have some idea what persecution really feels like. And then you'll realize what a dum-dum you've been by even mentioning that. We don't want God to be fair. We want him to be what he is, and that is just. He is a just, awesome, mighty God. So what's the fix for our selfishness? How do we successfully walk the rough road without being thrown into the ditch? Or if we get thrown in the ditch, get back out there. I think the passage from the Apostle Paul, the keeping your eye on the prize, I think that's a good place to start at least. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your focus on the things that matter to God. Talk with him about it. Number one, to find out what it is that matters to him. Number two, talk with him about it. He can handle your anger. He can handle your frustrations. He created you. Be honest with him. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. So be honest with him. He can handle that. Thirdly, I think lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be here. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He knew we would need each other. That's why he gave us to one another. That's why we're here. And above it all, remember the love of Christ sustains us. The love of Christ allows us to love those who hate us. The love of Christ allows us to take each day and offer it back to God as our holy act of worship. His love never fails. My prayer is that we would be faithful in return. Let's pray and ask him for his help. Gracious Father, we admit we're sinful, we're broken people because we focus too much on who we are and what we want. We pray that today that would change, that our lives would be lives that give glory to you, not ourselves, that our lives would be lives that are committed to serving you by serving others, helping those who are broken, helping those who are in need, helping those who need a kind word, who need a helping hand. And as we do it all, that we would do it in your name and for your glory, not for our praise, not for our glory. God, forgive us when we somehow think that you don't understand the trouble we're having. It sounds almost comical to even say it, but God, at the time, our selfishness, our hurt, our pain, our anger clouds who we are and puts a barrier between us and you. Forgive us when we fail you, and by your grace, we know that you have just amazing things for us. With our obedience, with our willingness, our availability, Father, you have so much for us. We thank you for your Spirit that walks with us. It gives us power, strength for each day. Father, that bonds us, that brings us together on days like today. We pray that as we go from this place, we'd be willing to serve you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and do not have that personal relationship with the Creator of the universe through His Son, Jesus Christ, I invite you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. Or if you're here and that's your situation and you don't want to come down here, that's fine. Call me this week. We'll get together. We'll talk about it. Help work it out. If you're here and you do have a relationship with Christ, but you say, Raymond, I'm kind of in that category of those that are kind of living for self, and I really need to get back on track of what God wants for me, you can certainly square that away right where you are. Just talk with Him. You know, put yourself in His hands. You can do that where you are. I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like. The altar will be open for prayer if you'd like to come up here. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of College Park, there's a lot of ways we receive members. Whatever your desire is, I invite you to make that public if you desire to as we stand and sing together now.
Oh,
I invite you, after the benediction and response, I invite you to speak with one another, encourage one another, have that fellowship that gets us through the week, gets us to midweek. We invite you back Wednesday night to fellowship and be a part of a Bible study then. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, it is a glorious day because we have the privilege of coming and being together and worshiping you. God, we pray as we go from here into our mission field that you would strengthen us for the task that you place before us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.